Hello and welcome everybody once again to another thrilling episode of Film Expert versus Film Noob. I'm Chewy.
And I'm Kat.
And today we will be talking about the film Raya and the Last Dragon.
Well, tell us about
I hated this fucking movie.
No, you cannot just say that. Tell us about the movie.
I hated this movie.
No, stop. No, no, no.
So I didn't choose the movie this week, but what I thought was interesting that Raya and the Last Dragon recently has kind of come back. It actually came out like a few months ago, and I remember hearing at the time that everyone was kind of like, eh. But it came back, and everyone seemed to be having this new second appraisal, and everyone's like, well, it's actually not that bad. So I thought, well, you know what? Let's give it a go. For anyone who doesn't know, this is a Disney movie, not a Pixar animated movie, but they, as far as I'm concerned, they have the same problems. Pixar and Disney have the same problems. We'll get into that later, but Raya and the Last Dragon was directed by Don Hall and Carlos Lopez Estrada. Don Hall is known for that Winnie the Pooh reboot that came out in 2011, very well received. He did Big Hero 6 and Moana, he was a co-director on all those projects, much like he's a co-director on this one. And this Carlos Lopez Estrada individual will be directing a CGI remake of the Robin Hood Disney movie. So they're in the pipeline. But the thing that, as I was doing a bit of research, because I always feel like I have to, there are, let me just count right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people credited with the story. And that's never a good sign. The two writers that are credited with the screenplay are, I apologize if I pronounce this wrong, Chi Huen and Adele Lim. And Adele Lim is known for Crazy Rich Asians, which is a movie that came out a few years ago. And as soon as I saw that, I was a little apprehensive. And then as soon as the movie started, it became so apparent that all my fears were coming true and this was going to be another boring, manipulative Disney slog where they just do the same things they do in every other movie, but they just recontextualize it with the setting, and that's about it. In a realm known as Kumandra, a reimagined Earth inhabited by an ancient civilization, a warrior named Raya is determined to find the last dragon. I hope everyone can feel my seething hatred for this film, because it is genuine. It is so genuine, and I know I'm not alone, because, I mean, I don't think you maybe are as annoyed as I am, but you did not like this movie either, right? Oh, the long pause.
I think, yeah, I don't think I liked it.
Okay, so spoilers from here on out, I don't think anyone cares at this point. I think people have made up their minds about what kind of movie this is, or if they would have liked to have seen it by now.
Well, no, there are people that haven't watched it, but
no, I know, but
it's
going to
be with spoilers.
I feel like the people that would have wanted to watch this have already seen it. But anyways, there is going to be heavy spoilers. We can't talk about any film unless we go into details and explain scenes and things that happen. So spoiler warning there for everyone out there. But honestly, I wouldn't recommend the movie, so I wouldn't be worried if I was you. Just listen to it, and you can kind of figure out pretty quickly that this is not a movie worth watching.
Definitely. Well, I want to start with one thing, and it's my disappointment of how this idea would have been so beautiful.
I completely agree.
It's more like I was like my heart broke from the disappointment I felt of this idea is so good, and they just ruined it. Like, the movie was so badly balanced about trying to be.
So all over the place.
All over the place. It's like, you don't understand what type of movie is. Is it a comedy? Is it adventure? Is it serious? No, it's like, you cannot, like,
you just don't know where to go because the movie doesn't know.
Exactly. So that's what I hated, because sometimes you'll see silly movies and you have to just understand it's a silly movie. I don't know if you watch 21 Jump Street.
Well, yes,
it's like
right.
A silly movie.
There is a suspension of disbelief. Yeah. Like you go into a comedy movie and you see really stupid, absurd things. You're like, well, it's a comedy movie. Like that's the point.
And in this movie, what happens is that it all starts as an adventure movie in really serious setting.
Yeah, can I talk about the setting for a second? So what I wanted to say was, to your point, the setting is about 30 minutes long. Like, it's really lengthy. But like you were saying, really sets up this interesting world. I got a lot of Avatar vibes, like The Last Airbender, that show. Like, you know, the different areas of the land separated by, you know, quote unquote, the Fire Nation attacking.
The Fire Nation.
But I mean, they use similar kind of language to describe, like, oh, it was this flaming forest. This forest just burned everything down. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some inspirations there. But the point is, the movie tries to really lean heavily on a pseudo-Asian mythology, because it's trying to be made up. It's not really trying to be like, oh, we're very heavily drawn on Chinese mythology. It's really trying to be just generic Asian mythology. So at that point, you're like, okay, fine. They set up what the backstory is. They tell you what the legend is. And then the movie starts getting going about the 20-minute mark. It's present time. We're not talking about the legend, the history, the whatever. And immediately you're just kind of like, you feel like there's no momentum. We start and our main character is like a little girl. And we're like, okay, she's a little girl. But okay, I thought this movie takes place and she's supposed to be like this person, whatever. You have some preconceived notions. So you're like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, because I'm like, why are they telling us all this backstory if the backstory could be a movie on its own?
Yeah, it takes so long.
Yeah, and I was like, well, if this is the backstory, I'm expecting an splendid movie.
Well, to that point, it's like we looked at the runtime. We're like, wow, we're 30 minutes in and the movie's just starting now. And there's still another hour and 20 minutes. We're like, okay, well, this is now. Because, you know, usually animated movies are like 90 minutes anyway. So we're like, okay, great. So they added that extra 30 minutes for the cool backstory. Now we're going to really get into this interesting mystical setting. And they talk about magic and dragons. And you're like, okay, well, let's see what the world has to offer. And then immediately you start getting beaten over the head with these heavy-handed themes of trust and the mistrust between people and the good-hearted king of, you know, one of the kingdoms. Like, no, we'll unify everybody. It'll be great. This is who Raya's dad is. We'll unify the kingdom. Everyone betrays everybody. And it's supposed to be like, oh, no, the world fell into chaos because of mistrust. And then you go, okay. Then there's another time skip. And you're like, another time skip. And then you jump ahead and the world is desolate. And you're like, okay, why? I don't know why they gave me two beginnings to this movie, but fine, whatever. I'll just take it in stride. The dad and the daughter are a little cringy. It's that cringy, like, adults writing kids dialogue a little bit. But you're like, fine, whatever. We're just going to move past it. And then it just starts again. And you're like, what?
What is up with all these adults thinking kids are that dumb? It's like,
well, it's like, oh, my God. It's that annoying Mitchell's versus the Machines problem where I said, I can imagine Disney trying to do that kind of movie with all the really hip, quote unquote, dialogue and it just being cringy and awful. This is literally that movie. Like, I didn't realize when we talked about that movie I didn't know they'd already done it. They had literally done the thing I was talking about with the really cringy dialogue of the kids trying to be cool and saying, like,
there's... But that didn't happen in the Mitchells versus the Machines.
No, but what I'm saying, that movie was the antithesis to that.
Oh, I
see
what
film.
You mean.
This is Disney doing all those things I said they would never be able to pull off, and they proved my point. And, like, they literally have an emotional scene where a character says, I cannot wait to see the joy-tastic look on my friend's face when I return to my village. You're like, what? Joy-tastic? Is this, what movie am I watching? It literally can't even figure out the language it's using.
Yeah, I think that's the difference when, well, I don't really know what generation of people are doing these movies.
Who this is supposed to appeal to?
Like, no, it's more like not appeal to, but who are they? Are these directors and producers boomers, Gen X, millennials? You know, it's a mix. I think still, like, the top people in Disney are boomers.
Oh, absolutely.
So they must be the ones making these stupid decisions, because I don't understand how you think that's how kids act. Because it's not. It's just cringy. It's like if you're an old adult that hate kids and just think that that's how they act.
You're right. It comes from such a place of like disdain or like annoyance. It's like, well, kids are annoying. We're going to write them annoying. It's just like,
that's what I hate. Kids are not always annoying. And it's better if we kind of like just remove that stereotype from kids.
Absolutely.
Because like in the Mitchells versus the Machines, the young boy wasn't annoying. He was a boy. Mm-hmm. He was just a boy. Mm-hmm. But here it's like, oh, he's a boy or she's a girl. Plus she's annoying and obnoxious and like doing all these crazy things all the time and being like unstoppable or like random and stuff. And it's like, that's not how kids mm-hmm. are. Kids are smarter than that. Kids should be offended when they watch those movies.
And this is why I get so annoyed by Disney films, because I feel like if I was a kid, I would be offended. I'd be like, who's this movie for?
I don't think kids relate to be like that.
But that's what I mean. Like, there's just nothing to relate to. And the other thing that I just get so annoyed by with this film is that I'm going to talk about some behind-the-scenes gossip. Because I feel like with this movie and with Disney, I feel like it's such a corporate hellhole that I need to talk about this because I hate them so much. But I don't know if you know this, but the actress who voices Raya is an actress named Kelly Marie Tran. And if you don't recognize that name, she famously or infamously, depending on who you are, played the character of Rose Tico in Star Wars, in The Last Jedi. And if you also remember what happened in Episode 9, they completely wrote her character out of the franchise. Like, she was a main character. And everyone was up in arms about this. It was like, well, how can you be doing this? Like, remember the whole Star Wars trying to include people? We want to be a vehicle for all this diversity. And it was all token gestures. It was just, oh, yeah, there's some lesbians kissing in the background. Oh, yeah, one of our main characters is Asian in this movie, but then we're going to write them out. One of our main characters is a black guy, and then we're going to write them out and sideline them at the end. Like, I mean, all the problems of the 9th movie aside, I don't want to get too much into that. But this movie feels like Disney trying to make an apology for not having Asian characters. And it's so token, and everything is just so generically, like, half-assedly done that the movie feels insulting.
Well, I liked her character and her voice, though.
No.
It doesn't feel like a token for me just because she did a really good job.
No. Her acting aside, I'm not talking about her as an actor. I'm talking about the fact that it doesn't matter. The characters being Asian or the actors being Asian is completely incidental to the film because they completely sideline all their, you know, their mythology. Because everything we're talking about, honestly, is the least of this movie's problems. 30 minutes in, the movie takes such a huge nosedive and just completely sabotages itself. The moment the dragon shows up on screen,
that's it.
Oh, man. The movie is over. Yeah. Any sort of tension or any sort of interest you have in the movie immediately dies. Because this dragon is one of the most annoying token comic relief characters in recent memory. Like, you talk about hating Olaf, this dragon,
oh my god,
is so close to being more annoying than Olaf.
I have it on my notes.
You do.
I have it on my notes. And like, literally my notes say, I cannot believe I will find a character that I hate more than Olaf.
Oh man.
This dragon makes me love Olaf. This dragon makes me want to be Olaf's best friend. This dragon makes me feel bad for wishing Olaf to be dead. Like, in both movies when he almost died or something happened to him, I was so happy. Oh, and boy. This dragon makes me feel guilty for wishing him that.
Because you didn't realize it could get so much worse?
It got so much worse. I actually don't mind Olaf anymore. He's a good dude. Like, oh my god.
I know. It's like, and I don't want to sound like I'm trying to like poo-poo the Asian inclusiveness parade, because I think it's very important, and Disney is just such a soulless company that it's so clear. They're just using it to exploit people's hope for change. They're using it to exploit what the public dialogue is talking about. This is not sincere. You mentioned, you were like, oh, they must be boomers. The two directors are like 40 up. One of them is like a 50-year-old white dude who, like I mentioned, you know, Big Hero 6 and stuff, works in all the quote unquote Asian integration movies that Disney likes to do. And he is credited as one of the story people.
He's white, though.
And he's white. So it's like, again, the hand, the corporate hand of Disney just being like, well, we got these two Asian writers, but we're going to have an 8-person story credit because both the directors got to have input. Some of the producers got to have input. And then the other Disney overlords got to have input because it's got to be their perfect little product that has some Asian representation, but then also, you know, can be hip with the kids, but then at the same time still doesn't actually have them admit anything about or have to write anything competent about Asian characters because it's all surface level garbage. It's just worthless. And it feels so token. It's like, oh, we got these Asian writers. Like, but you clearly have stripped out whatever soul there might have been, especially after watching a movie like Minari, which embraces its culture so lovingly. This movie is so soulless. It's just, it's frustrating to watch that this big, beautiful looking corporate pastiche exists in front of us. And it's just so hollow.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that, I guess, because I don't know about all these directors.
Sure,
I know Disney does it, right?
Of course they do.
I just feel that they don't do a really bad job with it in the movie because, like, all the characters are just, I just see them as characters. And yeah, they have like mostly Asian features, which I didn't mind and didn't even notice, right? I think it was, yeah, they wanted to make a movie based on Asian tales or Asian
mythology,
but their own, like a magical world, totally different. Like even the animals and stuff are different from our world. It's right. Not our planet.
But this is what I mean. Like, cause I had the same problem with Luca, which is the Pixar movie that came out more recently.
I think it's even worse then.
Oh, no. Yeah. What I'm saying is the feeling like the cultural identity of the movie doesn't matter. It's just there for an excuse.
That's the thing. Like, for Luca, yes. Like, I enjoyed Luca more than this film. But I do think in Luca, it's a bigger issue that the whole Italian culture is literally just doesn't mean anything in the movie.
Right.
But in this movie, I didn't even think about, oh, they're trying to be Chinese or Japanese or Korean or they're trying to do this. No, I honestly think that they were just trying to create a new world. And the same as Avatar The Last Bender did, because they just created this tribe with their customs. And it's its own story. That's why I was really disappointed again.
But you bring up Avatar and the comparison is so obvious. Sure, yes. That's not real Asian mythology,
yeah.
But it's so heavily inspired from, and it's written into the show. You can't have a character like Iroh and not draw from Asian culture, and it's so obviously respected and represented through that character. It's not exactly, you know, oh, we're Japanese or Chinese, but they're representing the spirituality of Asian culture, yeah. Which is, and it comes from a place of respect.
I didn't see them doing anything disrespectful, though.
No, what I'm saying, the movie just doesn't bother.
Oh.
Because it gives up on its setting in 30 minutes.
Well, in that case, I think so, yeah, because all of the sudden, all these tribes and the
it becomes
way,
worthless.
Yeah, it does become worthless.
It
too. Yeah, yeah.
They set up all their customs and all these different visual designs to clearly represent one type of Asian culture. And then they just completely abandon and ignore it. Everyone talks the same. And that stupid, anachronistic, valley girl, whatever. They literally do the bad bitch joke in the movie, but they change the word bitch to, they call it Binari. That's the word they use. But they literally use it, like they talk to each other in this way that just completely betrays the setting. Because you're like, they don't talk like people in this setting. You have this opening scene with the father and he talks in this very like wise, sagacious way. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're going for like a bit of a classical dialogue feel, and then it immediately goes away, and everyone's being like, bah, bitch, hey, girl. Like,
they
oh,
don't talk like that.
My God, they do. The dragon does that.
Oh, yeah, the dragon does that.
Did you already forget?
I repressed the dragon, yes.
And that's what I'm saying. The dragon becomes the catalyst for every bad thing in this movie.
Yeah, because I think I thought you were talking about the two girls.
No,
and
she,
I was
well,
gonna.
She does do that. The bah, bitch thing. She does that in the movie. I wrote it down
specifically.
The dragon? No, no. Raya does that to the other princess.
She says, she says that.
Babinari.
Okay.
Are you shocked?
So I'm not shocked. I just think that women do speak like that, and it's not a bad thing. You know? Like,
yeah, but
I know it doesn't go well with the setting.
That's what I'm
because
saying. It completely clashes.
Yeah, it clashes with the setting, but everything clashes in this movie.
Yes.
Okay, so everything clashes with this movie. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
I am gonna push against that that's like a bad thing, but it is a bad thing for this movie because I didn't care about them being a little bit more hip while they talk to each other because it's just how women talk sometimes, or that's how it's perceived. And I have a lot of examples even in like,
yeah, but so what? That's not this movie.
No, yeah, it's not this movie. It's just I don't know if you got annoyed because it doesn't go well with the movie or just the fact that it's stereotypical of how women talk to each other.
I don't care about it being like a contemporary way of talking, because obviously we watched Mitchell's and the Machines and I was fine with it because they did it well. There was actually a point to it. The movie is about that type of culture. This is supposed to be like an Asian folktale.
Well, yeah, in that case, I just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, yeah. Don't take the wrong impression. Everything is based on the context of what's in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not have an opinion of, you know, culture outside of how it applies to the movie.
Yes, okay.
Because culture as a whole, it goes the way it goes, and change is part of culture, and that's fine. That's why movies change. That's why everything changes. But to say that just because it's something that's culturally significant does not mean it should be in your movie. That makes it even more offensive because you're just putting it in because people will be drawn based on a lie that they're going to get something like that out of your film. It's just the whole thing is so cynically designed. And I'm not going to cut it any slack.
Yeah, it's definitely designed with the wrong intentions.
Absolutely.
And now I want to start with my notes.
I mean, yeah, we've been talking about the moment that we gave up on the film, but there's so much more to talk about.
Yes, and I got a lot of notes that I'm going to go through all of them. And I want to start off how I felt in the beginning of the movie.
You're going to take us on an emotional journey.
I'm going to take you on an emotional journey.
Please.
It starts by trying to sell you the idea that you should be invested.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 5 seconds, Raya says something like, I know what you're thinking. How could this all happen? I'm like, I'm not thinking that.
I'm not thinking that.
So don't put words in my mouth. Don't like don't gaslight me into thinking stuff, you know?
Thinking I should care.
Yeah, it's like, show me first. Like, that should be the line she used after the first beginning of the movie, in the second beginning.
Yeah, right, sure. The time skip, when they do that, she could say, I know what you're thinking. How did this happen 6 years?
But
yeah, I know.
It's weird, yeah. This movie is really similar to Moana.
Oh.
But in this case, have you watched Moana?
No, I've seen it.
Yeah. So in this case,
I'm kind of interested by how you're going to make this comparison.
I think Moana just had the need in her heart to do something. And
you mean the character has a very strong motivation?
Yeah, like Moana just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, Raya also just has to do it.
Right.
It's just more Raya knows, but Moana didn't. She had to discover that on her own.
Right, like what the journey was supposed to be.
Yeah, like here it's very clear that dad is even training her to be like this
protector of this magical gem.
Exactly. But in Moana, it's the opposite. The dad is trying to hide everything from her, and she has to find what's true. But other than that, I think the sentiment is the same.
Oh, you mean like just the character's personal motivation is very similar? Yeah,
yes.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, they're just trying to do something good for their tribe or for their world.
Yeah.
But the story about like all this darkness attacking and all that, it's kind of like Moana on steroids. Because
right.
Moana, it kind of happens like far, far, and it was centuries later. Here, the drama is too fast.
Right.
The
oh, yes.
Drama, they dump the drama in your face.
They do. They just want to get to the next thing as fast as possible.
In one, it's more like, oh, everything's fine. And like, we have no fish. The coconuts are dying. Yeah. But it's the same kind of darkness that is trying to kill everyone.
Yeah.
But here it's kind of like the darkness is like slashing everyone in half, you know? It's like so fast and so...
convenient.
Convenient. This movie's so convenient.
Everything is convenient.
Everything about this movie is so convenient that, of course, they're not gonna die.
I know.
That's the thing. Like, stop lying to yourself, Disney. Like, you're never gonna kill a character.
We know you're never gonna do that. Stop trying to do your fake drama to pull our heartstrings, because it only works on people who have never seen movies before, i.e. young children. So they don't care that everyone else is seeing what they're doing and is wise to their game. They only care that kids end up in those seats and watch their movie. So they go, ah, well, whatever. The kid's not going to know. The parents might, but what do they care? They just want to take their kid to a movie.
I understand drama is important for, like, I don't know, creating suspense. But I kind of feel that movies before, and there are some good movies that do it, like Mitchells versus the Machines, that sometimes like, oh, it seems like they're going to do it, but they didn't. But it doesn't feel like it's such a stretch. Here they're like just like...
I know. It's the convenient thing that happens is what would happen in any other movie. It's not, oh, that makes sense specifically to this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that was convenient for this movie.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a convenient move to get to this storytelling beat that they have to do in this movie because it's a Disney film. And it's just like so manipulative.
It's so manipulative. It is. It's like, you're not teaching me anything because nothing is organic in this movie. Nothing.
Yeah. There are no consequences to anyone's actions.
Yeah.
Nothing really matters. Any sort of drama between the characters is painfully forced.
Yeah.
And then by the end, they just try to swing it back in the other direction where everyone goes, but the power of friendship, and now we're all friends now.
Yeah.
And you just are stunned.
These people, I think they're lazy writers
Yes.
who took bits of other films and just made a story.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the two writers, like, I can't just completely shit all over them. They're just credited as the screenwriters, which means they might have just been hired to put pen to paper. So I can't even hold them wholly responsible because there's eight people on the story credits, including the two writers. So whatever it is that they wrote, I don't think was what they originally intended, because like you said, well, we got to take bits from other films so that it still checks all the boxes.
Yeah, and it makes sense, like, how eight writers can ruin a movie because there's no soul in it
there's
anymore.
Eight different filming sensibilities trying to
there's
fight
no
over
soul.
What the story is.
Because it's not like eight friends who came together because they had, like, I don't know, a story to tell that they created when they were young, and like they had all this imagination. There's no reason for them to be eight people writing these.
Absolutely not.
That's why it's so soulless. Like, this movie, it's just so empty.
And I will agree with that. It is completely empty.
Yeah, so the beginning is rushed and dramatic, and I even wrote in my notes, like, I don't understand the beginning because it was all over the place. Of course, as the movie progresses, I got it.
Yes.
But it's really, I don't know. And one thing I do want to point out, and we can also talk a little bit about Luca, is that intimacy is different between girls and boys.
Right.
Like, when they meet the two princesses...
You mean like in the first attempt at having an opening?
Yeah, in the first opening.
In the first opening to the film.
Yeah, the two princesses meet and they're like all cute to each other and holding hands and just being nice.
They're
and
BFFs already.
Yeah, they're BFFs already. They're talking close to their face.
Yeah.
And it just seems natural.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, oh, this is how girls behave.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and... that just reminded me of Luca, that when we saw that movie, we thought it has undertones of being a boy love film.
Absolutely.
Because although Disney won't...
They don't have the balls to admit that.
They don't have the balls to admit that. It is. And everyone knows because how they frame the scenes.
Oh my God. Every single moment between those two boys is like a shot lingering on their fingers, touching, like... it's the movie is so obviously about that. And yeah. I feel like that's the only merit that movie has, because the beginning and the ending of that movie are just a mess. Mm-hmm. But that middle part, when it's just all about those two boys being friends, I was like, this is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of, it's just disappointing that men cannot share the same intimacy women do mm-hmm. without either being gay or being accused of being gay.
Or bisexual
or something. And at the same time, like, I would rather Luca to be a boy love film.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm like, well, I also rather just men being able to share their feelings.
That's also true.
You know?
The state of the world, I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's more like, it's not about only letting boys love other boys. It should be also about
just accepting that these stories are real.
Yeah, and that men sometimes are intimate and they're just friends.
And it might not mean anything. Exactly.
So it's like, Luke is a good example for that. And in this movie, these girls are so intimate to each other, but your mind doesn't go first to like, oh, they're lesbians. No, yeah. It's just they're friends.
Why do you bring up the lesbian angle?
Because in Luca, I bring the gay angle.
No, I know, but are you saying that this movie is overtly about these two
girls? Not at all.
Oh.
The opposite. That because they're women, I don't hate that feeling.
Oh,
because
yes.
Women are allowed mm-hmm, to yes. be intimate.
Right, you think nothing of it.
Yeah, women are allowed to have tension between each other mm-hmm. without it being sexual.
Totally.
That's the thing. It's like, and I never even for a second thought like, oh, they must be lovers. No, they're friends. Or right. like, they're frenemies. Yeah.
They are frenemies
because she
just betrays her immediately and then tries to steal the magic gem. And that's what throws everything into chaos. But the thing is, that scene happens and it's like a 2 minute scene of them becoming friends. And then immediately it's her betraying her and then the world plunges into chaos. So you're like, okay, well, I guess they're not friends anymore. What was the point of that?
Yep. So my next note is, oh no, why the dragon talks?
yeah. Oh man. It's time to rip off the Band-Aid. We're going to talk about the stupid dragon.
The dragon didn't even have the chance to be annoying. And I was already, wait, what? Why did the dragon talk? Aren't dragon mystical, like, elegant creatures? Like, why the dragon is talking?
It's because in some mythologies, dragons are extremely intellectual creatures that can speak.
Yeah, but they're intellectual.
Yes, that's
creatures.
The other part of that.
They have a brain cell.
They have a sense of honor and kind of like high class
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff, which is not the dragon that we got. We got the random, I guess, like middle-aged woman in our era who's playing a dragon.
It's Jar Jar Binks, but a dragon.
It's actually, that's actually not far off because Jar Jar Binks was also like a kind of a weird like Rasta impression, which is very, very uncomfortable. And this dragon raps and is
raps?
Like trying to be. Remember when she first meets her, she does a little like she starts doing a little bit rap about water. Remember that?
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Like
they tried to make the dragon like really cool and you're like, oh man.
No, the dragon never tries to be cool. It tries to be as lame as possible.
No,
and
the
I
dragon
hate that.
Is as lame as possible, but it's them trying so hard for the dragon to be hip and cool. And
yeah.
you're like, oh no.
So I'm going to tell you how to fix the dragon.
Oh, so you're just going to say, fuck everything they did. We're fixing the dragon. This
We're
is how you
fixing
fix
the dragon.
Okay, how do we fix the dragon?
Okay, let's the dragon talk. If the dragon talks and he doesn't believe in itself or herself,
right.
I'm assuming this dragon, it's a she. I think a better approach would have been a more depressed dragon.
You mean just kind of like down on themselves?
Yeah, more like, oh,
I have so much responsibility.
Yeah.
Everyone sacrificed and
I didn't have any real talent, and they believed in me. Why did they believe in me?
Why did they believe in me? Why did they choose me? I'm the last one.
Yeah, more like a dragon that it's kind of calm, but its issue is that it doesn't believe in itself.
And maybe instead of Raya just being an annoying character the whole movie and running away from all her problems, she could, you know, teach the dragon through what her dad taught her to, like, trust people and that maybe together we can, oh my God, it's almost like the movie wrote itself and then decided it didn't want to have a good movie anymore because they set it up.
They set it up with the dragon to be awful. I don't know who approved that decision. I don't know who approved that dragon and thought that was going to be a good idea.
No, but that, and that's what I mean, because the movie set, like, they set up that she learns this message from her dad and she is going to carry this message through, and Raya is supposed to like fight against it the whole movie and be like, oh, but my dad got betrayed, and but he tells me to like give people a chance. And then together, maybe the dragon and her would learn that together instead of the dragon just being annoying and being like, come on, Raya, learn to trust people. And then just spouts the theme of the movie over and over and over again.
I think even if the dragon was depressed, it could have been a dragon that told that he only could be good with people around him.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, through Raya and the dragon, they would learn that together instead of the movie we have, which is just, oh, well, I'm a dragon. I know what's up. Just do what I tell you. Just believe in people. Just trust people. Don't worry about it. Like, the dragon has no character. It's just, I'm this. I don't evolve. Here it is.
I also think that animals have a way of behaving, right? And we, since the beginning of times, have used animals to describe something. Natives from all around the world has their tales about animals, and
or
they
have
use
like a
them.
Sacred animal or whatever.
Yeah, they have sacred animals, or they have animals that describe different things.
Yes.
Like a bear can describe maybe motherhood, or describe, like, I don't know. Or wolves can show a tribe because they live in packs and stuff like that.
Yeah, or like obedience or loyalty or whatever.
Stuff like that. So, for example, I know dragons are not real, mm-hmm. but in all these cultures, dragons are usually represented as something either dangerous or something
noble.
No,
I completely agree. There is like a public perception of like how dragons are represented in literature. Mm-hmm. Like, we all kind of have an idea of what they are kind of like based on just from literature.
And because dragons have this reptile look, and how do reptiles behave?
Right.
Really slow, and they think about the next move, and they're like agile, mm-hmm. you know, and they can go into little cracks and hide and just like
they seem cunning
or like just smarter mm-hmm. than a human, mm-hmm. you know. That's what I think dragons represent. It's always how they had power over humans, or it's more like they live there in their own world and don't care about humans, right? Because they know they can beat them.
Yeah, they are unaffected by human existence.
Yeah, because, and that brings them that kind of
the gravitas.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yes.
So even like in Zootopia, foxes are a little bit...
Yeah, they're sneaky.
They're sneaky because foxes are sneaky. And
that's how they've been...
What happens in Zootopia? The fox is sneaky.
And that's how they're commonly represented. Yeah. That's what just people publicly perceive them in a story. They go, oh, it's a fox. They must be cunning.
Yeah, so it's fine to use the animals...
Because they're not people. They're not stereotypes.
This is not a stereotype. It's like, we know how that animal behaves. It has a reason to behave like that. And it's really nice to represent them in stories.
Yes, visually.
Visually.
Because you're watching a movie with your eyes, where things should be represented visually.
So when I have a dragon behaving like Jar Jar Binks, I find it insulting. Because why is this like dragon so dumb?
Mm-hmm. I know, they're asking you to completely abandon any sort of expectation of dragons you might have and go, mm-hmm. none of those are true. Here's our annoying, stupid, random
version of a dragon. Yeah.
That is there to be funny. Oh, mm-hmm. look how funny it is. Look how stupid the dragon is.
Yeah,
isn't it so funny how dumb the dragon is? Makes me laugh so hard.
No. It's so dumb because, like, I'm offended on behalf of all dragons. And,
me too.
And also, they do use cats as cats. They're afraid of water. Although they're big, huge cats.
They're still scary looking.
They're scary looking. They're big cats and they're afraid of water. And that's the thing. It's like, oh, so you are being correct with the cats' representations,
mm-hmm.
but you are just doing a stupid dragon.
Yeah. You just want to have a dumb dragon because it's funny. You think
it's not funny.
No, but it is. The boardroom said it would be funny. They promised those Disney execs that it would be hilarious and would make them $400 million in China.
Yeah. Then I wrote that I actually like the interaction between the two girls a lot.
You mean like the very first one or everyone?
Every interaction they get. I don't know why I love it so much.
And this is Raya and Najira is her name.
Najira is her name. Yeah. I love their interactions. I love how powerful they are since day one.
Oh, you mean like the kung fu?
Yeah. I just know. I love how it's really natural for them to be strong.
Right. Like the setting benefits that they're strong because it just explains it by saying they're of this, you know, nobility. They're both protectors or defenders. They've been trained. You're like, okay, yeah, sure. They know kung fu.
Of course.
Look at their parents. They know kung fu and they're badass.
Yeah. It's not like in Star Wars that Rey just got.
Has everything given to her.
This is more like, it feels natural that they're so powerful.
Something.
Yeah. Although it's not that much that they show about that.
They don't.
But it just feels natural that they're this powerful. Mm-hmm. That's what I really like about the two girls. I really like the two characters, and that's why it breaks my soul. It just breaks my soul that this movie has so much potential. And
right, because
just
I agree. It's like they're very, I mean, to me, clearly going for a Prince Zuko thing with Najira, like the very whole like conflicted. But the problem with that is that Zuko gets that arc set up over like two seasons. Whereas this movie is only an hour and like 50 minutes long. So like all that tension just gets immediately deflated when they have to say, okay, but conveniently now you need to betray everybody again because we need to have the climax where you come together at the end. And you're like, but that doesn't make any sense. That betrays this character's arc. You are literally destroying the arc that you so naturally set up. And then you sabotage. That's this whole movie. You set up things and then immediately sabotage them because, well, we got to have a funny dragon. But we still have to have the sentimental climax where they all come together. Even though it could have happened way earlier in the story.
Yeah.
And the movie would have ended. But they don't want the movie to end. It's got to be a certain length. So we got to keep stretching things out for no reason.
No, but that's the thing. I so hate when movies just think that they need to keep having action scenes.
Right. Exactly. The action scenes in this movie are very well animated and like they're pretty and stuff, but you're just kind of like, okay, I guess we're having another one. I don't know if this matters. Like there are a couple of fights where you're like, okay, there's a reason in the story for this fight to happen. They're trying to make it thrilling because she's trying to save someone or protect someone, whatever. But most of them they just are there to look cool and they do some kung fu and then it kind of just ends. They're short. They're also short.
Yeah, I think this movie shouldn't have been an action film.
Absolutely not.
It should have been an adventure movie. It should have been more like Moana, that it's mostly focused on their adventure and their journey.
Yeah.
Than the action scenes. Because, if an action scene is going to last a minute and it adds nothing to the film because literally none of them matter. The one that maybe just matters is the last one when they're actually mad at each other.
Right, there's like some emotional investment.
There's emotional investment. So yeah, that's the only fight that should have happened, to be honest.
And that one also is still only like 30 seconds long.
Yeah, that's the only fight that should have happened in the whole movie. Although it could have been easily avoided.
Like it's the movie set this up so easily too. This ending action scene should have been so simple. They're fighting. They're mad at each other. The walls should be collapsing around them. And what should happen is that they keep fighting and they look around and they notice, what are we fighting for? The whole world is ending. And it's just a visual metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even do that right. The fight ends immediately. They run down to save everybody and they're using the magic rocks to scare away the darkness. And I literally turned over to you and said, oh, well, it's because she needs to walk away from her so that she can jump in with them later and save them. And that literally happens within 30 seconds of me saying that. And I think we looked at each other and just rolled our eyes. It was just sad. They can't do a simple payoff right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we cannot repeat enough that this movie is so convenient.
It's just so lazily written.
So lazily written. And Chewie was screaming in pain in the middle of the movie.
Like, it was so hard for me to keep my mouth shut. Like, it was so, because we try to like not ruin the other person's experience during the movie. I mentioned it in another podcast, being distracted by how much you hated one of the movies we watched. But we try to just keep it really, really calm. I just couldn't do it. I was so annoyed at every time the movie did something stupid. I just would drop my head into my hands and I just couldn't believe everything that I complain about Disney, they were just doing every single thing I hated.
Yeah.
Every single one.
And another thing is that that's how I know they just took ideas from like 20 different movies. Those stupid monkeys were a ripoff of the Madagascar penguins.
Totally. Well, they do the, they have that one very like Mission Impossible style scene. Exactly. It's the same joke that the penguins did, that they're the super like elite Mission Impossible style infiltration team. And that stupid con baby.
Oh, the baby was so dumb.
My God. When they're like, hey, con baby and random monkeys, do you want to come with us on our adventure now? I was like, no, they're adding more stupid comic relief. How are they adding more stupid comic relief characters to this movie?
Yeah.
The dragon is more than enough. And now we're getting babies and three monkeys. I completely checked out at that point. I was like, I hate this movie.
Just doesn't make any sense. Like, they just, I know by the end of the film, we kind of understood why they were coming with Raya. But I hated the fact that they were coming with her out of poor convenience.
Yeah.
They weren't coming for her because that's the plan. I have to get one person from each tribe.
Exactly.
So we can all put our power in the gem or crystal so we can even wake up the dragons.
Yeah, I know.
And save everyone.
You could have easily written that in to give a reason to why all these people join.
Yeah.
And then the whole theme of trust and togetherness would make more sense when it's like she has to go and convince them to come with her instead of I'm on my own, I'm just doing my thing. Oh, you're coming now? Oh my God, turns out we all needed each other for the save the world plan to work. I'm so glad you all came along.
That's the thing, it's I would have rather than the dragon tells her we need to unify the tribes, we need to bring them together, and then they kind of like bring them together.
Sure.
There's a reason. Oh, but it's just so convenient that one person of each tribe, including a baby, is together for these things.
And you know what? I want to talk about this really quick before you go to your next note, is that this movie is so tonally all over the place. It can't go two scenes without having some tragic emotional anecdote about, oh, well, I lost my family too. And that's supposed to be the thing that makes Raya go, wow, we've all lost something. Maybe we're more alike than we realized. And it's so dumb. But then immediately after, they'll have a scene with the toddlers and the monkeys running around the boat they're in, causing a ruckus. And oh my God, it's so funny. Like, they're throwing shrimp around. Like, I could not understand how this movie can't even get its own manipulation tactics right.
Yeah.
It can't even do that. The thing that Disney is, I would argue, still really good at is convincing you to cry about stuff when the sappy music starts. This movie can't even do that, and it does it constantly. Just, oh, here's, I'm sad again. My family is dead. Let me talk about my dead sister. Ha, ha, ha. And then let's throw shrimp around the boat. And it's constant. Between the dragon or every new character they meet being a buffoon somehow. Or saying some other cringy line about how joytastic it's going to be when they save their friends. Like, it's exhausting.
And when the dragon conveniently comes back to life and they see that they're going to have like a cute moment, an emotional moment, the dragon is like, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, man, I'm so hungry.
It's like, wow, you cannot even be emotional for a second.
You can't even be emotional with your own climax.
Yeah.
You can't even do that. Like, I wrote one of the really bad examples down because it hurt me. And I said, you can't have an emotional storytelling climax when a baby is literally the reason you sneak into the enemy's fortress.
Yeah.
That has to be the most insulting thing about this movie, is that it pretends the whole movie to be serious and dramatic. And then the dialogue starts to get annoying and cringy, and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Then the baby starts to save the day, and you're like, there is no tension in this movie.
No.
Everyone who dies can just come back to life anyway, because the enemy doesn't kill everybody. They just turn them into stone.
The baby could have been redeemable if it had like a mom or a sister, you know, like, Yeah, like the baby is being used as a con artist by an older sister or older brother or their mom, that it's like she lost their husband and stuff like that. Yeah. That would have been cool.
Yes, well, because you could say, you could make a comment like, well, people pity mothers, and you could make a comment about how it's like, well, people look at people with babies so differently, and mm-hmm. I use that to my advantage, because the movie tries to kind of talk a bit about perception of the other. Like, it's very, very thinly layered in this movie to try to be like, look how everyone's different, but we're really the same. So they try to do things to differentiate the tribes and try to use those to create barriers between them all. But they obviously don't go anywhere, and they don't matter in the end, because everyone's forgiven in the end. We saved the world. We're all friends now. Even though none of these people, as they have established in the movie, none of these people can tell how much time has passed between when they were frozen and when they awake. That's even a plot point in this movie where they say, what about all the people that come back? They're going to still be those same people from all those years ago that are mad at us. They literally draw attention to it in the movie, and then they ignore it in the end and say, well, it's fine. Everyone's happy now.
Right. There's a plot hole.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I didn't notice that, but there is.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
Maybe they forgave them because all of a sudden there's dragons back.
Yeah, the dragons are back, so mm-hmm. everything's forgiven. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Yeah, and I did already mention that Disney keeps pretending something bad and catastrophic is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious that it won't happen. It's a Disney film. It's like, stop building this unnecessary tension. Like, it's so painful because it's painful without a reason. And it was so lame how at the end they were still like, literally the world is about to end, and you're still like, no, we cannot trust
it. I know. Like, I was like, do you see what's happening around you? This vortex of literal death. And you're like, but we can't trust each other. It's like, guys, really?
Yeah.
Now you're going to like, they just push their metaphor so far, and you're like, this is dumb now.
Mm-hmm.
This like, you have now completely betrayed your own theme, because you couldn't even communicate it properly. So now we have to have the world ending around our characters for them to go, wow, we should have trusted each other. Easy for you to say now, Raya. Everyone's about to die.
Yeah.
Maybe that whole thing earlier about trusting each other and not having a big stupid climax at the end of the movie would have made the movie better. Because it would say, you know, maybe having a big sword fight isn't going to solve all your problems.
Now, you know what? This movie couldn't have been better, because we already said that this could have made the movie better, but we said that like 10 times.
That's true.
So like 10
things. There are too many things that they need to fix.
Yeah, there's too many things that need to be changed for this movie to be better. So nothing can fix, like one thing cannot fix this movie. This movie has to be rewritten.
It's so many problems.
It has so many problems. It's just annoying because I loved Avatar. I love the idea of other cultures. I just love that idea.
Avatar is a brilliant show.
Yeah. And I am so disappointed that a movie that looks so beautiful, because the animation is beautiful, the characters are beautifully designed, except the dragon.
The actual individual character art is like very detailed and very like visually lifelike.
Yeah, I love this world. I want a video game inside this world and explore it.
Yeah, because they do have kind of cool, like, they do try to do some visual references to, like, Japanese mm-hmm. film and stuff like that. It has a very, like, Kurosawa vibe of, like, the lone samurai wandering in the desert, trying to find, you know, purpose and whatever. Like, they try to visually kind of copy some stuff. But they're just copying stuff, and it's not integrated into the story in a way that matters. So it just feels hollow.
It is. I'm sad because I do like Raya, and I do like the other princes even more. And I wish this could have been a better movie. It's so disappointing.
It is.
Like, even Frozen is better.
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far.
I think so.
Well, I guess. Yeah, I mean, at least Frozen tried to do some original things.
Yeah.
Whereas this movie doesn't even know what it is. It's a movie with an identity crisis.
Yes. It's so sad. I don't know who approved this. I think what happened is that they just gave up at some point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The two writers, obviously the movie was just completely, like, you know, taken over by all the different people involved. And it wasn't their story anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you hired us because you wanted an Asian voice, but it doesn't matter anymore because you're going to make us rewrite all these things based on the six other people who have input. So, I don't know. It's, I mean, fuck Disney.
You know, it reminded me of that video game you were playing.
Which one?
The one with that character that had to save all those spirits. And you have an eagle.
Oh, you mean the Pathless.
The Pathless, yeah. Remind me of Pathless a lot because there's also like cities.
Yeah, a lot of visual storytelling in the art design.
Yeah, so... And Pathless is a really good video game.
With like almost no dialogue.
And almost no people or anything. But it also has these ideas of animals representing...
Different things to the people.
Yeah, and I love watching you play that video game and the story behind all these animals, and it was really beautiful. So I see that it's possible.
Of course it is.
It's possible to create stories like that. I love stories like that. I just realized I love stories like that because I loved watching you play that video game. I loved Avatar, and I am heartbroken by this film because it's like I was baited to believe that this was gonna be one of those stories and it wasn't,
right? Because there's so much detail in the art, so you're like, wow, I'm gonna be in this interesting world and we're gonna see all these different cultures, because they show you that and go, here's like the cool lake town. You're like, oh, they built their city on the water because the water protects them. You're like, oh, that's cool, we're gonna see this like night market inspired city.
And I love the names of the tribes.
Totally.
I love them.
They designed the world very interesting. It has this giant dragon river going through the middle of the world. So all the cities, or the tribes, I guess, are based on what part of this dragon-shaped river that they're on. So it's like the tail, the fang, the heart, the I don't know, the other ones. But they all have like a different little thing. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of really cool language design, their identity. And again, none of it matters. There is nothing beyond their visual design to inform anything about their culture, the characters, what they might be like, other than a token line where they say, like, oh, the people in the lake town or whatever, they're all shifty and they're all thieves. So you might say, oh, well, that's supposed to be part of the movie's metaphor of saying, well, when you mistrust people, all you rely on is stereotypes and tokenism to represent them. Because Raya is the one who's supposed to be like, oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. And then when you meet them, you go, oh, there's one that we like. Oh, maybe they weren't so different. But the movie doesn't do anything with that either.
Yeah, that's why I'm heartbroken because I want to know more about these cultures. This movie should have been a television show.
Or I guess a video game, like you said.
Or a video game. I want to know more about them. I want to know enough, the same as I learned in The Last Airbender, that with each season, I learn something about each tribe and nation.
It's like going on a cultural tour.
We're in a cultural tour that it's so in depth.
Yeah, you just feel like you become a part of that world.
Yes. So here, every tribe has their own thing, and every tribe has their stereotypes against the other tribes.
Yeah.
But everyone has their reason to be like that. If like these people are con artists, it's because, well, they don't have a lot, or maybe they had a shitty a ruler or emperor or whatever.
Yes, and they try to give you glimpses. Yeah. They do one, like, at the end when they get to the Fang City, which is where Nigeria is from, and it's the last one they get to, where the mom says something like, well, you know, we only survive because we think first and act later, and we can't let everyone come back because think of how everyone's going to treat us differently.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to affect us. So you get a bit of a sense, or you get a glimpse into how they feel about the other tribes. Because everything's only from Raya's perspective. So that's like the one moment where they try to say, see, this is where they are coming from. They see it completely differently only because of this cultural difference. But also, no other culture does anything like that.
Yeah, but also in the beginning, for example, I don't know how calm the hard tribe or city, whatever it is, had so much more prosperity than the other tribes. Like, I don't understand why.
They mentioned that there's like, they think the gem gives us prosperity, but it doesn't. It's like, well, then what is it?
Yeah.
If that's not like, you don't really, they just don't tell you.
They don't tell you why they have prosperity.
The motivation is so weakly set up. It's like, we just have this magic rock. It doesn't actually give us any power, except that it does, but it doesn't for the sake of this opening. And then it makes everyone betray everybody over this stupid rock that doesn't do anything, apparently, which the rock then is the all-important MacGuffin that they need to save the world. So you're kind of left wondering, why did the dad lie?
I don't know if he lied or... I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. None of it gives you any answers. Yeah, there's so you a just, lot of you don't understand. Holes. You're like, why did the dad do that? I don't know. Well, I guess the movie won't tell me. Why did Raya do this? I don't know. I guess the movie won't tell
because
me.
Because the Fang tribe did prosper after. And technically speaking, they had a bigger chunk of the crystal.
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, does the crystal actually make you prosper? Like, I don't get that part.
But no, and the other thing is, too, how can the Fang tribe prosper so much in 6 years? They were already prosperous.
When they weren't, because she said in the beginning, we don't even have rice.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's like, it looks nice from the outside, right, but inside we have a lot of holes.
That's what I meant, that it looks the same.
Yeah, and then it was better, apparently. They even needed more space to expand because they're so... well off.
So the rock clearly does do something. Yeah. Maybe
gives
not.
Gives you power?
Does it give
gives
you power?
Gives you the illusion of power?
Yeah. Was it just placebo? A placebo thing? And they just were like, well, now that we think it's helping, we're farming better. Like, just another unanswered thing in this movie.
It could be that if you feel safer, you're... Oh, that's an actual...
There's a metaphor there.
That's a metaphor for, like, when you feel safer in your environment, you tend to prosper.
Yeah, but you came up with that. The movie did not say that.
Yeah, I don't think
the movie never said that.
Yeah, I don't think the movie was that smart to even think about that as an option. I think I'm creating this metaphor of, like, that's true. Because if you're in a shitty environment, or you think you're in a shitty environment...
You let yourself be oppressed.
You let yourself be oppressed and, like, create all these issues. Mm-hmm. Either it's true, like for some, maybe for a tribe it was true, and for other it was just, no, you're just creating these problems for yourself.
Well, because we see that the warmongering tribe, they're all gone. Like, they're all quote-unquote dead. They've all been turned to stone except for the one guy left, remember?
Yeah.
So he has a rock, and they didn't prosper, one of the chunks of the rock. So... it's very, the lines are just too blurred. Nothing in this movie is consistent. So you just are left to wonder if there is a theme, if there's a metaphor, is there a point? Nothing, nothing matters.
So how much is the rating for this movie?
What's the rating?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Let's find out right now. Oh my God. So it has a 97 audience score and a 94 critic score.
So it's a good movie?
Yes, this means it's unanimously liked. How many people? Based on 278 critic reviews.
But I have heard only bad things about this movie.
I know. All I have heard is people hating on this movie. And this is my theory. This is common with all Disney movies. And this is the conspiracy that I will maintain until the day that I die. That critics don't watch Disney movies. They just sit through them and go, well, kids will like it. I give it a pass.
Yeah, because they're dumb.
Because because they don't care. Like, it's another Disney corporate thing. It's for kids. It's not for me.
But that's
whatever.
The thing.
I'll give it a free pass. And this is why I always take this to task. You can't treat kids' movies like they're not movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, most people do. This is why when I look at stuff like this, I'm like, yeah, of course the critics love it because it's a family-friendly movie that's trying just to be a crowd pleaser. So they'll say, well, kids must like it. I have to give it a pass. I can't judge it like a real movie because I'm an adult man or I'm an adult woman. It's not meant for me. So I have to leave room for that, which I think is horse shit.
It's horse shit because there are enough good movies for kids that are just smart.
Yes.
And they have a good story. Even like when I was growing up, kids' films were traumatic. Like, they were, like, so serious, and the tension was so real, and you were just sitting through them. like, you were a kid and you will sit through them, and then of course they will have a happy ending, mm-hmm. but there will be dead involved.
Totally.
There will be things that, like, are more real.
They're not trying to shield the watcher from the actual consequences in the world. If you do something and die, well, you saw what happened. They're trying to show you things, not just go, well, come into our warm blanket. Let's tell you a little bedtime story.
Mm-mm.
It's, we're going to actually show you, the child, what film can do. So you will get invested. You will feel emotional. You will get attached to characters. And we are going to show you that there are consequences in life, because there are.
And it's fine. You don't have to be a scary movie to be a good movie.
Of course not.
Or like have a bunch of deaths and... No.
I mean, Disney should take their own advice. They started by killing Bambi, so they should know better than anyone.
No, not Bambi, but Bambi's mom.
Yeah, Bambi's mom.
But also they killed Mufasa.
Well, exactly. So they know it's a powerful tool.
Yeah. They always killing people or animals. Anyways, the thing is that Moana is a good example of a good Disney film. I love Moana. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite movies. I have watched it at least 200 times. And we'll rewatch it forever, because it's actually well written. It's consistent. Nothing is convenient. Everything has a reason to be. And it's a journey. And the story, like the film, is the journey. It's not the ending.
Yes. And
you know?
It kind of focuses on the two characters interacting and like getting to know each other and like growing as a result of their meeting. Like, it is very character based.
Yeah, but this movie doesn't have a journey, because the journey never lasts more than 10 minutes, because then it's a new journey.
Exactly.
It's like the first journey is in this place, and then a kid goes in the picture.
Time skip.
New journey.
Yep, we're somewhere else now. Oh, hey guys, we're here. And then we meet someone new. They join. Okay, guys, we're at the
new
next
journey.
Place. Then they join. Oh, hey guys, we get like five times. Okay, we're at the new place. Oh, we got someone new. Here we are at a new place again.
So they literally retold
the same scene 5 times.
Yes.
I know.
I cannot believe they done that, because it's not only that this movie is a cliche, they repeat the same cliche 5 times.
They're a cliche of themselves. That's how cliched this movie is.
It's so bad.
I know. I cannot believe that
the good rating.
That the ratings are even half good.
No, that's the thing. If I'm a kid, I don't have the mental capacity, or maybe I have. I don't know. I used to just watch films and don't even like
think
about it, right? I never saw them from more than whatever superficial thing is happening. It's more like when I was an adult, I grew up and I was like, wow, remembering this film brings me joy, because now as an adult, I can even see another side of the film.
Right.
That's what is beautiful about some children movies, that when you grew up, you love it even more.
Well, because you can respect that they respected you.
Exactly.
When you were
they respected your intelligence. This movie, like, if you're just an adult and it's like, oh, it's just a kids movie, well, then you just don't appreciate the art of animation and film and storytelling.
I would agree with that assessment. It's just because that you just don't respect any of the art form at all. So
you don't
whatever.
Respect it. Yeah. If you respect art and you respect film, you
wouldn't give it a free pass.
You wouldn't. You would be really tough with it.
That's why I'm tough with them.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. And I feel like whenever I have these opinions, people always just go, oh, God, give it a rest. It's a kid's movie. And that's why I'll bang on this drum forever. I am the champion of the children's film.
Yeah. And there are good examples.
There are so many. We
so
just saw
many.
One.
We saw one. A lot of good Pixar movies. A lot of good Disney movies.
Yes. They still have movies in their catalog that are good. This is just definitely not one of them.
Yeah.
It's like, again, this is just the most convenient, cynically produced product that Disney has ever released, in my opinion. Like, this just hurts me to look at.
Me too. I don't understand why it has such good ratings.
And then, seeing that makes me more disappointed. I'm just like, wow.
Well,
wow, people just will accept anything if it looks pretty. So
it's just people don't care about it having a soul or not.
I know, because as long as you walk out of the movie feeling like you know, you cried at the end or whatever when the dad and the daughter hug and it's like, oh, they're together again. I love my kid so much. Everyone does it. It's literally like clockwork. You just get to the end, the sentimental music starts, everyone starts crying. You're like, yep, here's Disney making you forget about everything that happened in the movie by making you cry at the end. And because you cried at the end, you go, oh, that movie was so good. I'm so emotional. It's pathetic.
The only reason why people maybe rewatch it and like it again, it's because they just learned about the world, and the world is good.
They're making excuses for the movie because they like the world. I think you're right.
I think that's the thing. Is like, while you're watching the film, it's so painful. Mm-hmm. But now that I saw the whole film and you build this world around it, I kind of feel bad for shitting on it. Because I just wish it was a good movie because the world is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And like, I just wish they will tell me more stories about it in a more serious way.
Yeah, it's almost like you wish it could have just been it can be remade somehow.
Yes, I wish they can remade it and like just do something better.
Yeah, I you're probably not wrong. Like, any sort of lingering affection for this movie, I would say, is probably only for the setting.
Yeah.
And the potential, because I'm sure there are people that kind of see what you saw where it's like, wow, there was a lot of potential, a lot of really interesting art design, all this kind of stuff that implied more, and we didn't get it. So I want them to make a sequel so that I can get the better version.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you something, guys, they're not making a sequel to Raya and the Last Dragon, because there is no sequel to We Saved the World.
What would be the sequel?
Exactly. We Saved the World already. What's the sequel? Oh, we, you know, hate each other again. It's like, well, that's never gonna happen. That's it. All we got is Raya and the Last Dragon, and Raya and the Last Dragon is a terrible movie. You're never gonna get your Zack Snyder cut of Raya and the Last Dragon.
Hopefully,
guys,
we do. Well, anyways, if you're a screenwriter or director, producer, I don't know what you guys do or who is in charge of doing a good movie, and you're listening to this podcast, please build a world for me. Please.
I implore you.
Just copy everything from this movie. Copy, just like blatantly copy it.
Blatantly try to make Avatar the Last Airbender again.
Yes, please just do it. Please just satisfy me. Please, I'm begging you. I need it because I just realized today that I love those stories. And it breaks my heart. There's no more of them. Please do it.
Well, I mean, and with that, it sounds like you have at least one thing you can thank this movie for, but I have zero.
Yeah, I realized a love I didn't knew I had. Mm-hmm. And I'll be really sad because there's not enough things I can scratch that itch with. Mm-hmm. I guess video games.
I guess
a lot of video games have a lot of worlds that mm-hmm. you have to learn from. Mm-hmm. And they're mythical and they have their own story.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff
like
that.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just have to play more video games just to not cry.
I guess. Okay, well, I don't think there's much more left to say at this point.
Let us know if you like the movie.
Yeah, let us
and
know.
And you if disagree you're... with everything we say.
Let us know in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you are, please like, comment, and subscribe, I guess.
Ring the bell.
Yeah, ring the bell. And if you're listening to this anywhere else, thank you so much for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we will. Let's go eat dinner.